عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. حاج سمير شوية البويس. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. Congratulations to all of you on the anniversary of the birth of one of the iconic figures of the history of mankind, a man, a leader, well known for his piety and his knowledge. One of his titles is Alimu Ali Muhammad, the scholar, the knowledgeable leader in the family of the Prophet. And that is the eighth Imam, Al-Imam Abu al-Hasan Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. This Imam lived for only 55 years. He lived 52 years of them in the city of Medina, Medina al-Munawwara, where he was born and raised by his father, by his grandfather. Though his father, the seventh Imam, was also taken away from Medina for almost 10 years, and he was jailed. He was in the prison of the Abbasid tyrants in Basra and Baghdad, in two cities. The last 10 years of his father's life was spent behind bars, in the worst type of incarcerations. Those, the family of Bani al-Abbas, the dynasty that is related to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And they started their movement in the name of the family of the Prophet. They declared that we are here to support the family of the Prophet, to bring them back to leadership, because they were marginalized by Bani Umayyah. So now we are coming back to power to bring Ahlul Bayt. This is how they deceived the masses, and this is how they garnered the support of the masses. They used the name of the family of the Prophet. But once they had their grip on power, they were persecuting the family of the Prophet. So Imam al-Sadiq was killed by one of the Abbasid caliph, by al-Mansur al-Abbasi. His son, Imam Musa alayhi salam, Musa al-Kadhim, Musa ibn Ja'far al-Kadhim, was killed by Harun, another Abbasid caliph. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam was murdered by al-Ma'mun, the son of Harun. 52 years of his life was spent in Medina, leading and teaching and guiding. And he had a special corner in the mosque of the Prophet, Masjid al-Nabi. Special corner assigned to him. And that masjid was not only a place of worship and prayers, but it was a school too. Between the prayers times, that masjid, Masjid al-Nabi, was a university of people who would come from all over the countries to study Islam. And that mosque was filled with scholars, ulama, jurists, fuqaha. And those fuqaha, they say, when we face a very tough question, a mas'ala that we cannot find an answer to it, we go to that corner where Imam Ali ibn Musa Ridha is sitting. We bring our masail, our questions to him, and he has a ready answer. He has a decisive answer. He says, sometimes one of them said, throughout my companionship with the Imam, which lasted for some years, he said, I asked him, I counted the masail, the questions that I asked Imam al-Ridha, it came to 15,000 questions. 15,000. And the Imam was ready to answer them. So he became Alimu Ali Muhammad. And one of the things that Imam is asking us to do, he's asking his followers, those who love him, those who believe in him, those who go and visit his shrine in the city of Mashhad. He says, Rahimallah man ahya amrana. Rahimallah, may God bestow his mercy on that person who would bring back our affair, bring back our name, support us in our cause. So one of the people said to him, one of his students, how do we bring back your cause? How do we revive your cause, the family of the Prophet? The answer was, the answer of the Imam was, يَتَعَلَّمُ عُلُومَنَا. He would learn from our knowledge. يَتَعَلَّمُ عُلُومَنَا وَيُعَلِّمَهَا النَّاسِ. Once he learns our knowledge, he will pass it. He will pass that knowledge to the people around him. Don't keep that knowledge, that ma'rifah, just to yourself. Because knowledge is light and ignorance is darkness. So when you learn the uloom, the knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, this rich school, try to pass it, try to share it. You don't have to stand on the podium. You don't have to be a teacher at a university. You have friends. You have family members. So pass these and share these sciences, uloom, and this knowledge. Share them with others. يَتَعَلَّمُ عُلُومَنَا وَيُعَلِّمَهَا النَّاسِ. This is how you keep the school of Ahlul Bayt live. Because the school of Ahlul Bayt was based on intelligence. It was based on knowledge. It's the school that comes from this book. One of his companions, his student, says, when we go to Imam al-Ridha and we ask him, he brings the answer from this book, extracts the answers from the Holy Quran. A family that was well trained to understand this book. So he brings his answers from this book, from the Holy Quran. And every 3 days, he memorized the Quran. Every 3 days, he will read the Quran from the beginning to the end. Every 3 days. Every 3 days. It means that he spent his time always reciting. Because he knows the Quran by heart. Every 3 days. This is tough. A man who mastered the knowledge of the Quran. And therefore, Ma'mun, the reason Ma'mun invited him from Medina to Khurasan, maybe some of you don't know that he spent only 3 years of his life in Khurasan. He was not born in Khurasan. He was not raised in Khurasan. He was 52 years old when he arrived into Khurasan, and he died at the age of 55 by the poison that was given to him by the caliph himself. The reason why he was brought to Khurasan is to put him under house arrest, is to keep the masses away from him. And one of the tactics that Ma'mun, the the Abbasite caliph used to fight the school of Ahlul Bayt was to invite leaders of other faiths, interfaith community, the Jewish community. At that time, Khorasan was the capital of the Islamic Ummah, the entire Muslim empire. Khorasan was the capital. Today, Khorasan is not the capital, but at that time, it was a very important city. Probably the most important city after Kufa and Damascus. So he would invite the leaders of other faiths to his courtyard, to the royal courtyard, and he will plead to them to ask the imam the toughest questions. And then he brings the imam. An imam is sitting there, and ulama'ul adyan, the scholars of other traditions, religious traditions, many of them philosophers, many of them fuqaha, jurists, professors of law, experts in their fields. They start throwing their questions left and right on the imam. And the imam is there, sitting there with absolute comfort, with absolute confidence, he will answer their questions. Mamun tried to embarrass the imam. Mamun wanted people to see the imam. Maybe he would fail one day. And then he would tell them, see, you are telling us those people are scholars? He cannot answer this question. But he could not. Mamun himself, he failed in his mission. And the admiration of the people and the scholars and the interfaith community in the imam was increasing day by day. They realized that this man is not an ordinary man. This is a special man of God. His knowledge is an inspiration from God. Ahlul Bayt, they receive their knowledge directly from God, as their grandfather did, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. One of the most beautiful teachings of Imam al-Ridha that I'd love to share with you tonight, it's the meaning of faith. He speaks about the meaning of Iman. What is Iman? Iman has many interpretations, many meanings. But what exactly is Iman? What is it? What is the difference between Iman and Islam? Iman is one step further, an advanced level of Islam. Islam could be obtained very easily. Any person believes in the oneness of God, monotheism, and believes in the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and believes in the revelation that this book is the revelation of God. This is the Holy Quran, was revealed by God to the Prophet. That person becomes Muslim, provided that he or she would utter the two testimonies. I bear witness that there is no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. And you know how many times we do this in this office here? We just did one about an hour ago. An American Christian came. He wants to marry a Muslim girl, so he declared this shahada. So this is the first step. They become Muslims, okay? But to be mu'min, faithful, it's not that easy. It's not just a declaration, a verbal declaration. It has to be an action. It has to be a conduct. It has to be a behavior too. Not just declaration, behavior. And I could not find a person more eloquent than Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam. In his definition of faith, Iman, what is Iman? He says, Al-Imanu ala arba'i arkan. Iman stands on four pillars. This is the meaning of Iman. Let me share them with you. Number one, At-Tawakkulu ala Allah. Putting your full trust in God. 100%, not 99%, 100%. Once you do your share in this life, you do what God asks you to do, then leave the rest with God. Put your trust in Him. I would say we cannot put our full trust, blind trust, in our spouses, neither in our children, nor in our parents, nor in our teachers, nor in any other person, no matter how that person is close to you. Don't put your full trust in that person, because the human beings are human beings. Human beings have emotions. Human beings, they have hearts. This heart does change from time to time. We are moody people. We are controlled by our mood. So don't put your full trust. Put your trust, but not full trust. There is a difference. The only one that deserves you put your full trust in Him is God. God is the one who would not turn His face away from you. God is the only one who would not abandon you. God is the only one who would not say to you, sorry, I can't do this for you. So put your full trust in God. At-tawakkulu ala Allah. And this book says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. He who put his trust, full trust in God, God will suffice him. فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. حَسْبُهُ means enough. God is enough for you. You don't need any other support. God is going to find you supporters on this earth. God is going to facilitate the journey for you. God is going to open the gates of success for you when you put your full trust. Provided that you do your part. Don't be lazy. Don't stay at home and do nothing and say, oh God, I trust you. Go to the field. Go to work. Go to school, go to the doctor's office, then say, God, I trust you. Full trust in God. At-tawakkulu ala Allah. The other meaning of tawakkul is that you should not fear, try to fight fear and anxiety. 2/3 of the American people today, this is over 200 million people in this country, at some points in their life, they survive on sleeping pills. They can't sleep the night because they are worried. They are worried about something. Either worried about their health, worried about their children, worried about their income, worried about their future, worried about the IRS. They are worried. Aren't you worried? When you have such a beautiful president in the White House, you are not worried? I am worried, to be honest with you. I am waiting for his tweet in about 3-4 hours at 4 a.m. Let's see who's going to attack this morning. Yes, we are worried. We live in a society, in a time which is very volatile, very fragile. Anything could happen. Anything could happen. But when you trust God, when you have full confidence in God, you should not be worried. Don't do something wrong, and then trust God. Have peace of mind. When you do your job, turn to God. Tell Him, God, I did what I could do. I leave the rest with you. Take care of me. Take care of my family. Then sleep with peace. Don't be worried. The second, this is the first pillar of faith, tawakkul ala Allah. Imam al-Ridha says the second one, al-Ridha biqada'illah, having acceptance and contentment with the divine decree. My friends, in this life, what we do, our fate depends on two things in this life. What you're going to do tomorrow and next week and next month and next year, what will happen to you and your family depends on two elements. One is God, the second is you yourself. Our fate, our destiny, it's a partnership. 50% depends on God, 50% depends on your effort, your work, your choice. So you are not choiceless in this life. We are not animals. Animals are choiceless. They have no choice. They are driven to their destination. But we are not driven to our destination. We choose our own destination. So we have to make the right choice. God has given us intelligence, aql, brain, to make the right choice. However, we have the choice, but also we believe that we are not completely 100% free. Do you know why? Because sometimes you decide to do something that you cannot do. You fail. You don't succeed. This means that God does not want you to do that. It's not entirely up to you. It's not entirely up to you. Can you fulfill your all dreams? Can you fulfill all of your wishes? No, some of them you can, the others you cannot. God says in this book, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I give the final approval. I look at you, whether you deserve this or not. If you deserve it, I sign it for you. I give the approval. If I don't sign it, it would never happen. Even if you bring the wealth of the entire earth, the power of the entire earth, it would not happen. Therefore, we have to believe in divine decree. We have to have acceptance of the divine decree. Sometimes divine decree states that I have to take this from you, take it away. Sometimes your house is taken away from you. Sometimes your son is taken away from you. Sometimes your health is taken away from you. This is divine decree. It does not mean that you don't have to fight to get it back. You must fight, you must struggle. But if you cannot get it, if you knock at every door and you cannot get it back, it means that this is the wish and the will of God. This is divine decree. We have to believe in divine decree. الرضا بقضاء الله. And we have to accept it. Therefore, it means that if you lose something, if you miss something, if you don't get something, don't be displeased. Don't spend the rest of your life unhappy. Some people are always dissatisfied. Always. Why? Because they can't get the thing that they like. Because they can't get them. And most of these are material things. When they cannot accomplish their material goals, they spend their life unhappy. They look at others, they compare themselves to others. God says, don't do this. Every human being has a share in this life. I have allocated your share for you. Be happy with your share. Don't look at people's shares. Don't compare yourself. Yes, struggle. Work hard. Work hard. Don't be lazy. But when I give you certain shares, accept them. And if you can't achieve something, don't spend the rest of your life nagging and complaining. الرِّضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. This is the meaning of the acceptance and the satisfaction with God's decree. with God's decree. God gives every person what he or she deserves. But don't get me wrong. Not necessarily with material things, with the spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, if you deserve it, God will give it to you. If you don't deserve it, he would not give it to you. So this is the second point. The third point, Imam al-Ridha says, التسليم لأمر الله. Submittance, surrenderance, تسليم. Surrenderance to the ordinance of God. When God says you must do this, we must do it. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. God does not overburden you with things that you cannot carry, with things that you cannot undertake. He gives you according to your capacity. So certain things God says, I want you to do them for yourself, not for me, for your own benefit. God says, don't lie. So don't lie, that's it. Don't say it's difficult. Someone was telling me the other day, I can't. It's difficult not to lie. It's about the training. It's about how you are raised. Some people don't lie. This is the way they were raised. It's about the training. It's about self-control. It's about self-control. Don't steal. Be honest. Speak the truth. Always fight injustice, whether injustice is in your house or in your neighborhood, in your company, or in your society. Don't side with the tyrants. Don't support tyrants. Fight injustice and corruption. These are the commands of God. We have to adhere to them. God says, I want you to pray 5 times a day, not for me. I'm not going to benefit from your prayers. You are going to benefit because you are connected to me. You are connected to my Wi-Fi system. You have to be connected through the prayers. وَأَقِمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. If you pray once in a blue moon, this is not a connection. You have to train yourself. Sometimes you have to force yourself to pray. In the same way that some doctors, they tell you, you have to force yourself to eat good food. You have to force yourself. These are divine ordinances. We have to follow them. And some of them are really tough. Yes, they are not easy. Because there is a piece of land there waiting for you. It's not for free. You have to earn it. You have to work for it. In paradise. If you look at this book speaks about trials and tribulations. This book speaks about many afflictions, many tough tests that the prophets of God, they went through. One of them, an example of them, وَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا. Wow. This is not a fairy tale. A father at the age of 80, some people say 87, he gets a son. Eventually he gets a son at the age of 87, the only son, Ishmael. And 14 years after him, Isaac came. So when Ismail is only 12, the father says to the son, I saw a dream this morning. I have to take you to the desert and sacrifice you. It's tough. But the father was ready and the son was ready too. This is divine ordinances. God did not want Ibrahim to sacrifice to kill his son. God is against murder. But God was testing his will and his faith. God was testing Ibrahim's faith and Ismail's faith. And they succeeded. So once he puts his son, he laid him down. And he puts the knife. The answer comes, Ya Ibrahim, قد صدقت الرؤيا. You have fulfilled the mission. I don't want you to murder him. I was testing your faith in me to see whether you listen to me or you tell me, God, this is too much. Please, I can't do this. How many times a day we say to God, I can't do this? I know some people, some fathers, they say to God, I can't take care of my family. Some mothers, they say, I can't stay in this family. Too much for me. They run away. This is how society is failing, because we don't live up to our responsibilities. As fathers, as mothers, as children, we don't live up to our responsibilities. So this is التسليم لأمر الله. Once God says, I want you to do this, tell him, yes, sir. This is Islam. الإسلام هو التسليم. The meaning, the true meaning of Islam is to surrender to God. And then Imam Rida says, and this is the last part. He says, the fourth part, the fourth pillar of faith. So number one was التوكل على الله. Trusting God. Put your trust in God, your faith in God. Number two was الرضا بقضاء الله. Having pleasure and satisfaction with God's divine decree. This is number two. And number three, التسليم لأمر الله. To surrender to God. To accept His ordinance. Not to argue with God. What is number four? What is number four? How many of you have visited Imam Rida alayhi salam? All of you, almost all of you. This is one of the masterpieces, believe me. This hadith is a masterpiece of narrations. The jewel of all narrations. Number four is what? What is missing here? Because there are four pillars. One of them, tawakkul. Second, rida, acceptance. Number three, surrenderance. What is number four? It's mentioned in the Quran. It's taken from the Quran. The verb is taken from the Quran. وأفوض أمري إلى الله إن الله بصير بالعباد. أفوض means I entrust my affair to God. What does that mean? It means that God wants you to work hard in this life. If you are a student, you have to be the best student. If you are a laborer, a farmer, a worker, an employee, a CEO, you have to be the best in your field. The best in your field. So you have to do your job. But sometimes you reach, you are serious. You are doing your job. You are not doing something wrong. But you reach a deadlock in your financial affairs, in your family, with the friends, with the government, sometimes with others. You reach a deadlock. And in that case, you turn your file to whom? وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي. أَمْرِي means my affair, my file. Now I turn it to God. I did what I could. I did what I could. But at the end, when I can't do anything more, then وَأُفَوِّضُ أَمْرِي. I entrust my affair to God. I leave my file with God. He's going to take care of it. He's my attorney. When attorneys here fail in their mission, leave it to God. This is tafweed. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَصِيرٌ. God knows best what is good for me. بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. God has full knowledge of my affair. God has full knowledge of my benefit. What works for me and what works against me, He knows. These things we have to learn them. These things are the pillar of faith, my friends. These things we need to incorporate them in our life. May Allah bless you all, inshallah. This is a beautiful and happy occasion. I'd love to continue, but I have reached my 34th minute now. I leave the podium for our Mujtaba to recite, inshallah, some poetry in the praise of our Imam, Imam al-Rida. One thing before I leave, we have the youth camp coming soon, inshallah, August 3rd through August 6th. Beautiful camp in the mountain in Big Bear. But we need you to encourage the young generation to register. And those who can help us financially with this camp is very costly here. We live in the state of California. This state, compared to other states, is very expensive. A youth camp which costs $120 in Michigan, let's say, same food, same time, same period, it costs $300 here in this state. It's expensive. This was our decision to choose an expensive state. So therefore we need some help. So if you can help us financially, this is Ali Muhammad. Can you stand, Hajj Ali? This is one of the most energetic and vibrant leaders of the youth, who is going to get married soon, inshallah. Soon. He has his fiance here. He'll get married, and once he gets married, he disappears from radar. So let's take advantage of him, and please approach him and help him, inshallah. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين